Ja, hallo liebe Eishockey-Freunde, herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe von AEV Hansens Talking Hockey. Gesundheit.
Ja, so habe
Gesundheit.
ich gewunken vorher, ne?
So. Egal. Wir sind uncensored und unlimited.
Uncut. Uncut.
Uncut. So, unser heutiger Gast ist Cody Lemple von den Straubing Tigers. Cody, nice to have you in our talk. And thanks for your time. So, first question, are there any questions we aren't allowed to ask?
No, never. Ask away.
Perfect. So
Let's go. Let's go.
I
That's
hope the
right.
media manager of Straubing Tigers know that answer.
Yeah,
He
exactly. I
opened
mean, we'll see. We'll see, I guess, you know. She opened the
the
box. That's right. Pandora's box is
box.
open.
No, we just want to have fun. So it's better to talk English or how about your German?
English is better. Kind of, meine Deutsch ist, ich verstanden, sprechen langsam und ich über.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So then it's better in English
Better
because
English, yes. Might be boring for the fans here if,
Or it's better
you know,
in
if I have
Bavarian.
the vocabulary for of a 4-year-old.
Or it's better in Bavarian. No.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
now it's your 10th year in Germany, or?
Ninth
Ninth.
year.
Okay. So you're coming in 2013 or so?
No, let's see,
No.
15, 16 would have been
2015.
my,
15.
2015, yeah.
Nine.
Please
Okay.
apologize.
Sorry,
Not his
my
strength.
math is not so good.
No, it's not his strength.
No.
But I
So,
guess you want to introduce him first.
huh?
Yeah,
I
right.
guess
Yeah,
you want to
exactly.
introduce him first for our
Yeah,
spectator.
I
So
want to try.
please.
So,
Cody hat angefangen zum Eishockey spielen, natürlich in Amerika. 2003 bei den Seahawks Fall Stampede. Hat dann einige, ja, Stationen in der UCHL, in der NCAA, ECHL, AHL, zum Beispiel auch bei den Grand Rapids Griffins. Die sind ja bei uns in Augsburg oder in Deutschland eigentlich bekannt. Irgendwie habe ich das Gefühl, da kommen einige Spieler her, aber da werden wir nachher vielleicht noch drauf eingehen. Und seine erste Station in Deutschland waren die Fishtown Penguins. Dann die Adler Mannheim und jetzt seit in der dritten Saison bei den Straubing Tigers. Ist das right?
Yeah, yes, is you're right on. I like the way you pronounce Sioux
Ja,
Falls. I like that. Yeah, no, yeah, you're
but
exactly right.
you have also a short in Grand Rapids at the
Yeah,
Griffins. So I think a lot of players who going to Europe or especially Germany coming from there. So we have I think Mitch Callahan and I don't know where else Bergie or is also from there played there. I don't know, but.
trying to think who you guys had. Just because we were under two affiliates back then, I was going to say that I played with Terry Broadhurst, but it was actually in Toledo. He was actually, I think, Chicago, but because Toledo had Chicago and Detroit,
Ah,
that
okay.
I get mixed up where those players came from, you know. So but yeah, Mitch Callahan was there in Grand Rapids, and yeah,
Do you all
there's
have the
definitely a
same
lot of players.
agent or how what's the
You know, yeah,
reason?
no,
Or the other way
just
around,
yeah.
recommend your friends coming over or
What? I honestly, it's I yeah, I think you do a little bit of that both, but a lot of it's just, you know, the longer you play, the smaller the world gets, and you know, you end up running into people, and you honestly, like when I was over there and you see those guys. It's been 6, 7 years, 8 years before you see them, and then all of a sudden they pop up and you see them, and it's a surprise. So no, I think it's just small world.
And
So
see,
when you come over to Germany, what was the main major crazy thing or major difference between the old
The old life, yeah, you've had. And
I mean, I think it's the fact that when you're here, you're here. You know, there's not you're trying to fight to go up and down, you know, in between like the NHL and the East Coast League and the American League. So it's kind of more back to maybe like a junior slash like college lifestyle where you're on this team. And I think that's the biggest thing is once you're here, you know that you're going to be here for the year, so you can really kind of have, you know, I think even better camaraderie with the guys because you don't kind of have to, guys aren't stepping on each other to get to the next team, or if there's a call up, you know, that they're wondering, is it going to be them, or you know, what do I have to do to get called up? I think that's, you know, that's the difference, and that's a nice thing about Europe is that it's a real like, it's, you know, when you're here, it's you know, it is, you become really close with guys because you're learning something new, not just hockey. You know, you're learning new culture. You're kind of like you know, it's like you're a young child again, having to learn you know, how do I get this cart out of the stand at the grocery store? Oh, I got to put a coin in it. You know, I mean, I remember my first day over here of like trying to yank the cart out of the you know, out of the thing, and I'm going and I'm looking around, and I remember I was walking like, you know, maybe a kilometer back to my apartment with no bags, because I didn't realize you had to buy bags or bring reusable bags. I couldn't get a shopping cart. I mean, I was a mess. So, you know, having to do all that sort of stuff with guys and do it new, I think that's the funness about it and the nice challenge, you
So in the season of Straubing Tigers so far is very good. And I think the last years they built a very good team. And yeah, so for the first time, CHL is going on.
Yeah, I mean that was the coolest, you know, because the straw. I mean, yeah, I mean I think the last like, you know, ever since Dunner's been here, Jason Dunham, like in, you know, in the as a sport manager, it's just been getting better and better. And then obviously you see as, you know, Tom comes in here as a coach, you know, I think he's either the longest coach or maybe the second longest coach, maybe after Pope, you know, after Popish there in Bremerhaven, I think. So just the consistency of, you know, leadership kind of, and you know, having a plan, sticking to it, and kind of, you know, understanding, you know, this is going to be our culture, it's going to be the way we do it. And I mean, it's such an underrated place. You know how it is once you get to Bavaria. I mean, I feel like I wasn't even in Germany before I got to the south. You know, it's just
Yeah,
such
true.
a special, it's such a special place, and I think people realize that, and now it's become a destination. And you know, but it's we're taking a step, and we got to take another step, you know, in the playoffs here. We've done, you know, we've had some consistent regular seasons, but you know, I think now you put expectations pretty high on yourself and on the program, and now you have to get it done in the postseason. So I think, you know, we've liked where we are in the regular season, but I think the best part is that we feel like we can still get better, be more consistent, and you know, again, I think we're just trying to get our stride going into the postseason here.
What would you say? What is the main factor for success? Is it the skills? Let me say that the hard facts, or is it the atmosphere, the trust, the spirit? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it is trust, like in your coaching staff that like, you know, I think you go to a lot of other clubs and the pressure, you know, the ups and downs, like the severe highs and the severe lows, you know, just by one game or two games that a lot of people, you know, tend to maybe grip their sticks too tight and you know, kind of, you know, put too much pressure on themselves and do this and that. And I think a lot of that comes from management and this. And I think you get to play with a sense of freedom here, you know, where you get to play loose, but obviously you play within that structure. But we have like a long-term plan. It's not just everything is, you know, if something doesn't go your way or you don't get a bounce, the world's falling, you know, world's caving in. And then if something does go your way, you know, you're the best player that's ever played. So I think it's a nice, like, consistent level of what we're trying to do. And I think the fans are really behind that too. Like the support, you know, they're, if you do have a little bit of struggles, you know, I mean, they're not just constantly coming after you. And I think they appreciate hard work, you know, so when you put in that work, it's not, you know, it's sometimes it doesn't happen, you know, but if you put in that hard work, more often than not, you're going to find success. And I think that's, you know, the main thing is that I think there's a lot of trust in the players here. And I think there's trust in management too. I think there's not a lot of, now they've earned that, you know, so I don't think there's a lot of fan base that's really like, you know, maybe tries to tell Dunner or TP like what their job is. I think they've earned that trust. And then us as players, we can just trust, you know, that we're in a good spot and we can go out and do our job and we don't have to hear any of the outside noise. And I think that's, you know, and it's kind of it's us against the world a little bit. And that's what's nice too about Stralling. And, you know, same thing about Oxford. You know how the fan is, right?
That brings you rally against that. Close, you know? Together. Yeah. I mean, that's the, like in Asterix and Obelix, that's the small Gallian village. Yeah. And maybe sometimes that's also a bit of an advantage for your team. If you play with Straubing, for example, maybe the opponent is not as much as focused as they play against Mannheim or the big names. Yeah, Berlin, Munich. I mean, nevertheless,
I think that's changed a little bit, you know, because of where Straubing has finished the last couple. But I also think that's the whole league though, which is nice and different this year. Is that the whole league is, I think, the tightest it's ever been. Mm-hmm. So the competitiveness. Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at our record, you know, versus what people would say in the standings, like 10 to 14 and 1-4, like our records are probably identical against those teams, you know, because anybody can beat anybody. Yeah. So it's, and I think this year, especially, you know, to be honest, like I'm not cheering for, you know, one of those four teams in the DEL to win, you know, to come up, because I don't think any teams deserve to go down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so. So I, you know, I mean, there's not like there's a team that's 30 points back. It's like it's two games and you're either in the playoffs or you're out of the league. And that's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the great part about the league, but also too, at the same time, like I'm not cheering for one of those DL2 teams to win, because I don't think this is the year.
Mm. Yeah. I think this is also the reason why fans coming in this quantity to watch the games. I think the whole league have higher ratings than ever with spectators.
There was a huge concern during COVID, also after COVID, due to the economic situation. But if you look at the numbers, the league is popular, and that's.
That's what you want. And I also think that's also partly, you know, you have a lot, you know, you look at good players around the league and you look at top scorers around the league and you look who is as top scorers, and those are German born players, you know, which have a stranglehold on. And I think that's great for the league. So, I mean, I think when you have those players and you have this, and it's not just import, you know, I think that also brings success, because, you know, those guys are marketable around here. You know, they've done a good job growing the game. They've played this, they can do media. They, you know, they're relatable, you know, this is where I grew up. This is where I do this. I can compete against anybody. And that's a great thing for the league. So I think all of it is, you know, perfect storm. I think there's, you know, there's still improvement and there's still, you know, but I think each team, you know, I don't necessarily think it's the league that, you know, should get credit here. I think a lot of individual organizations are embrace the differences in their organization and their traditions and their fan experience. And I think, you know, those teams should get the credit, I think, for being, you know, for embracing, you know, the specialness or the uniqueness of the franchise and the fan experience, you know.
You've been in Bremerhaven. Then in Straubing, what was between?
Adler Mannheim.
Mannheim.
So, yeah, by the way, he gets a German champion with Adler Mannheim.
Yeah.
So do you like more these yeah, let me say smaller cities, smaller areas.
It was so different. And I know fans are going to be like, you know, you say this every time, oh, this franchise is the best. This is the best. I can't be, they're so different, but they're my experiences. I got to play for three fan bases that we had success when we were there. So it was great everywhere. Like, so when we were in Bremerhaven, we were the underdog. We got up our first, you know, we were up and then we made the playoffs both years, ended up losing to Munich in both those years if they won it. So we, you know, overachieved or reached, you know, our expectation. And it was my first time in European hockey and German hockey, and it blew me away. Like the choreography in the stand, you just saw it with Alfred, you know, the way they you know, paid tribute to Alfred for his 70th birthday there, just the choreography. And then you see it in Straubinger, but then you go to Mannheim and it's kind of like, okay, this is kind of like playing for the Yankees, you know, where it's this tradition, they're going to spend money, they're going to do this. But when I was there, I always thought it was, you know, before I went there, oh, it's buttoned up, it's this, but they embraced me being different and super cool marketing experiences. And the reach was, at the time, Frankfurt wasn't even in the league. So you could go basically all the way to Frankfurt, all the way to the Pfalz, all the way to Ramstein, like all the way to Heidelberg. I mean, the reach was so big, and they did such a good job of kind of letting me be me, at least, especially like outside the rink, and embrace like my uniqueness, that I never thought I would ever have that opportunity, especially before I went to Mannheim. I thought it was going to be, you know, you're the Yankees, everyone shaves, has short hair, has this, you know, this is how it is. And it was the opposite. And I give credit to like the marketing team and the team that they embraced this, you know. And it was, and even though we worked very regimentally, you know, we had Pavel Gross and he was super regimented. We were all soldiers there, but we still got to be ourselves and be unique and stuff. And then going to Straubing is kind of like the best of both worlds. You know, like you have this unbelievable fan base, but you're in Bavaria, which, you know, I'm all about tradition. And I love that with every place kind of changing, you know, Lederhosen is the most, it makes me happy every time you see it, people celebrating, doing this. And with all of culture shifting and doing this, and, you know, kind of getting away from history, you know, Bavarians really embrace their, and this is why I, you know, we're going to stay here long term, because, you know, we love it.
That's what we've discussed yesterday, Sasha.
Yeah.
That we are missing more and more these characters in sports, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
you, for example, maybe you're a player, I hate him if he plays against my team. But at the end, I would say I like exactly that player in my club.
Same with Bremerhaven and Mannheim. I mean, the amount of like loves I got when I was there, and then as soon as I moved on, I mean, the amount of hate messages and this, and you know what? And I, like I said, I don't, you know, like I love it. I love it that's how it is. And if you're going to embrace it while you're there, then you better embrace it while you're not there. You know, so
if you leave.
That's what happens.
If they hate you, I mean, that's the highest form of a tribute you could give to a player. I mean, that's the end level of love.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Because they are angry because they missed her part of.
And trust me, it was hard for my wife when she like will get these messages. You know, and I'm like, hey. This is just part of it. You know, never once have you honestly felt like unsafe, you know, never, you know, I'm like, this is truly like, this is fans, this is fanatics. This is, you know, sometimes it's across the line. Yeah. But it's, no one ever does it to your face, you know, no, never.
Yeah.
And it's, and it's, like I said, this is something that, you know, I embrace a different, fan bases, the culture is this, and I've just been so lucky to have a stop up north, you know, in the middle, and then down south, and kind of experience the whole country. And I think that's what I'm, you know, the happiest for. And in terms of all of it together, and weather and culture and hockey, you know, Straubing is, you know, Bavaria to me has been, you know, it's just, it's, it, I love everything about it. So my kids love it. You know, it's, they're all about it too.
So if you play Bavaria, you have a lot of Bavarian matches. Yeah. Just derbies where you play Nuremberg, Munich, Straubing, Augsburg. I mean, that's special. That are all special games.
Yeah, that's the running joke around our team that every game's a derby. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. We've had more derbies. We've had more derbies. You know, like Justin Braun. Justin Braun's a guy that comes over here and he'll just say, man, like,
what
do we have? 50? What do we have? 50 derbies this year? He's like, what are we? The only derby we don't have, you know, is like up, like, you know, we got 50 derbies this year.
Yeah, except of Bremerhaven.
And then you're fighting them in the, then you're fighting them and trying to beat them in the thing, you know, because they're really good teams, you know? So it's like every game, you know, that's the thing is every game, that's what's nice about this, especially for the, I mean, it's probably so nerve. I mean, I know how, you know, my role's kind of changed a little bit, you know, now. And like, you know, I end up, you know, now I, you know, kind of play more when our import goalie plays, you know, and then it does this. So like, I can't even imagine how the fans are feeling, because those games that I watch, like, I mean, I just, they're so nerve wracking, you know, that you're not, you know, that you're just watching and anything can happen. All the teams are tight, that like, I, man, all these gray hairs popping up and just, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So if I listen to you about these good guy, bad guy, I think of other love of yours, like heel and baby face.
Yeah, what about your
what
wrestling
about your wrestling career?
Man, you like that, huh?
Yeah.
We have something special for you.
Let me tell you something real quick before this. When Marcel Brandt said, "Lamps, we're go-" Oh, look at this. Look at this. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
Mexican wrestling. This is, you know, this is, like, I mean, I was, you know, I'm a 90s kid. Yeah, I mean, I'm born in the 80s, but like early 90s, like WWF is my thing, you know, and then watching every WWF match, you know, every SummerSlam, every Royal Rumble, every this, anyone that ever knows me is like, you know, knows I'm a wrestling fan. And when Marcel Brandt's like, "Hey, we need you. We're going to go to this wrestling thing and you're going to be a part of it." And I've been waiting. I was waiting at that point. I was waiting 36 years to bounce off a rope in a wrestling ring. That it's like, honestly, it's so funny because they go up and they go, "Hey, so you're going to do, you know, do you have any thoughts of this?" And I'm like, as long as I get to spring off that rope, you know, and feel the bounce of this rope, like, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life.
Yeah.
That would be great. Man. I think so. Flo and I, we are also grown up with this wrestling
stuff.
You know, we've been there at live events of WWF or WWE.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of live, like Triple H and Undertaker and
Yokozuna.
When Lex Luger slammed Yokozuna and on SummerSlam, you know, on that military base, like on that Air Force strip. I mean, that was one of my childhood, like, no way, Lex Luger, like, after, you know, picking up this 500 pounder and slamming him, you know, like with the on an Air Force base, like, this was, you know, I mean, this was me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Cody, do you know Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
I do.
Yeah, so be careful.
Yeah,
he's coming for you.
No exhibition with them, okay?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Bruce, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Is it not easy to ask that question? Normally, I always ask our guests, what is the most strangest player you've ever met or so? I mean, a bit difficult from our perspective.
You know,
you're a stranger.
Exactly. They probably all say me.
except you,
you know, let's see.
Imagine every morning in the
you know what I wouldn't say you know what yeah exactly you know what I wouldn't say the strangest, but I'd say like the most well-rounded at the time I played with, and he's like one of my best buddies, you know, through hockey. Like, he's just great. But he was so great because he just did different things. You know, he was a vegan. He was a vlogger before like vlogging was going on. He kind of saw the world in a very, like, you know, he was just a very deep thinker. This guy, Jordan Owens, we mm-hmm. played in Bremerhaven together. Mm-hmm. And when I say strange, I mean that in such a good way, that he was just not a jock, you know, like he competed so hard and worked so hard and had some balls on him, and he did all this, but he also did this while like trying to learn different things and be smarter. And same with Mike Moore, guys like this, like that were like, just were smart, you know, and just did different things. And like, hockey didn't define them, even though when they showed up to the rink, like, they just worked so hard and competed so hard. And then when they were away from it, it was like, man, I'm going to solve this math equation on the bus. Oh, I'm going to, you know, oh, I'm going to vlog this, and I'm going to a rally to stop like animal products from being. And it was just, it didn't matter who like told them like, this is strange, this is different, this is this. They had their own path, and it's so admirable. You know, it's like, this is the way I was. Like, you know, you think people were listening to, you know, like my music when I would like play punk rock in the locker room or anything, or like, so this or that, you know, it's like, they're like, what the hell are you doing? You know, or this, or, you know, you just went to what? Like, you just tattooed like all these fans for this. Like, they look at me like I got three eyes, you know, like, but that's how I'd say those two guys were the, like, the most well-rounded people in terms of just, they were full of substance, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's, so I'd throw those two guys out there, Jordan Owens and Mike Moore, in terms of mm-hmm. like guys that really, I was fond of as a, they had more, you know, and not that everybody doesn't, but they were always searching for, you know, to just be smarter and be better people and, you know, whatever. And it was, I admire that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take, by the way, if you're talking about music, if you take over the boombox in the locker room, we heard there's something special going on. Flo?
Yeah. Pennywise.
Yeah, of course we're playing Pennywise. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But we're playing all those SoCal punk bands. Like, we're playing Pennywise, we're playing Bad Religion, we're playing Social Distortion. You know, then if we want to go to the East Coast, like, then we'll put on some Misfits, we'll put on AFI, we'll put on Bad Brains, you know, we'll put on all those bands. Like,
nice.
Then we'll go across. Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, I grew up on, you know, a real punk rock environment, but a lot of like skate punk, you know, a lot of those. So NoFX and Guttermouth and, you know, Vandals and bands like that. And then it kind of evolved into, you know, learning like the old school bands in terms of like Misfits, Bad Brains, you know, like UK Subs and you know, like the Iron Maidens and you know, Clash, things like that, who like bands like that. So I've got a real fondness for like skate punk, and then, you know, but I love just like punk rock genre, and, you know, mm-hmm. It's just so nostalgic and makes me happy. And my wife, every time we're on a road trip, my wife says, you know, she can't believe I'm listening to this, and her ears are bleeding, and I just like have the biggest smile on my face, you know.
Yeah, yes. During my time when I was a young guy, I was not a punk rock fan, but I guess most of the bands, they come from England or Great Britain area, do they?
Yeah, a lot of them did, you know. Yeah, in the past, you know, a lot of those bands, like, you know, Clash and, you know, Sex Pistols, things like that, you know, those, right, exactly, like bands like that, and exactly, the Pogues, right, they, you know, they set the way, and then, you know, once then you got to, like, you know, New York City kind of hardcore punk bands, and then it kind of, you know, then it kind of found a happy medium when they went to the West Coast and had a little bit more of a melodic, you know, a lot more of, like, a chorus that you could understand a little bit, and it wasn't so intense, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was punks that were kind of more from suburbia, didn't have such a bad upbringing, so they made it a little bit more enjoyable, I think, to listen to, and not so much angst, you know, and a little bit more upbeat, you know.
I'm pretty sure, Sasha, 80% of the people listening to that, they don't understand.
Yeah, they have no idea.
No way.
No
to then back to hockey, you know. Also a question we like to ask is, what's the weirdest thing you do before skating or preparing for the game? Or did you have a weird, I don't know, like put on the left
glove? I mean, I think just probably going to the bathroom at the same time on the clock, you know, like once you get dressed and you kind of see like, you know, whatever, you know, 11 minutes left in the thing, like I always go to the bathroom, you know, go take a piss and kind of do it at the same time. And it's like your body just like, doesn't matter if you have to go or not, just like your body just does it, you know. It's like, you know, when before the, like before warm-up starts, like at this time, doesn't matter, like I'll be at the head, you know, going to the toilet. So I think that's probably, I'd say that's like just playing and routine. But you know, like as my superstitions and weirdness has gotten less and less because my role has kind of changed, and now that I have four kids, like I don't get to be as superstitious as I want to because I got shit to do, you know. It's like I gotta take care of, you know. It's like when I'm here, when I'm there, it's like it can't be the same on the road as it is at home. So why even start? So I think it's definitely, I think I've gotten less OCD as my career has gone on, as opposed to gotten more, you know.
So we see that hockey sticks behind you.
Yeah.
These are exactly.
Look at this exact arranged hockey sticks.
You normally don't
look like that. You make it in that German exact way. Yeah.
Yeah. You like that. I know.
Yeah,
I, well,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I'm thinking I got to go in the background, but you know, you guys really appreciate the, you know, the old look. Out of my whole hockey career, I think this is what I'm proudest in, is like designing, you know, being able to
did you design that?
Yeah. So Thomas Kultzer and I, so from Shanner, I tried to get this Bauer Cooper stick that they made like 1 year for a winter classic. Like they tried to do it. Mm-hmm. They did it maybe like 10, 15 years ago, like one of the first ones. And he said, you know what, he can't do it, but I have a guy at Sherwood, and I'm like trying to tell him, like, man, I only got a couple years left. Come on, I'll use Sherwood, no problem, but we got to do a stick like this. And then he said, I got a buddy there. They did a stick for like John LeClair, you know, and they did an orange one, kind of like, you know, the rough one my first one that I had. And then once we saw that they were able to do like the feather balanced, then all of a sudden we designed every color. We added, you know, the detail, like the, you know, I was like, we need the actual look like it was a two-piece blade. We need to make sure that the hyphen's still there. We need to make it look exact. You know, we need to make it look exactly like the Sherwoods. And then all of a sudden I sent a picture of an old 50-30.
Yes.
And, you know, we said, okay, I need it, you know, because I was trying to get a wood grain blade first off, you know, because I was actually on the white one, I was trying to get an actual wood color blade so it actually looked like old school. Right, exactly. So I actually sent a picture of.
But this is a wooden one.
This is a wooden one, yeah.
Because we miss yours. But we got a white one. Thanks for that, by the way.
And I got one of these for you guys. So I sent a picture of, I think it was, the picture I sent was either maybe Guy Lafleur or somebody using this same stick. And I said, this is it. Like, we need to make this. And then all of a sudden, like, they came out, they were able to do it. And I was like blown away. And now, like, the fact that they will even like sell this now in a store.
Yeah,
and do this.
Yeah,
it's so cool. You know, Sherwood has just been fantastic, and the fact that after you saw this, then they were trying to beast and then try to bring Synergy back. You saw Austin Matthews with like the similar type of CCM, and the fact that like Sherwood did it over here and did it first, and like got to be a small part of that. I think was so cool.
I think the wooden one, the old wooden one, is playing by Sidney Crosby. Back in the time.
Yeah, exactly. So he used that wooden blade and everything. Mm. And And right, exactly. And the coolest thing, I think, is that Chris Bork reached out to me when I had, let's see, what color? I think I was using the white one. I think I was using this one. And I sent him a picture of, I sent him a picture of his dad, because that's what I sent. That's what I sent to Tom. And I said, hey, can we do a black Paul Coffey style like this? And I sent him a picture of what it was going to be. And he reached out and he said, no way. Like, I need to get in touch with the rep, because I need to get my dad this for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And they went out and made it for him. And yeah, I mean, like, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's great. Because all the old stuff is getting cool at the moment, you know?
You know, yeah, but when you're talking about equipment,
us too, Sasha.
Yeah.
Except the two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, yeah. 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 You know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Unfortunately,
I don't get all the new designs and colors and this and there's no bridge, you know, between you know, the young and old, and there has to be something that keeps that alive, you know, because yeah. You know, we every single one of us used you know, learned how to shoot, you know, using a stick that was way too stiff and it was cut off and it was your dad's old one or whatever, and do this, and now they have, you know, junior flex sticks that are you know, completely different, and there's just, you know, there's no you know, how cool is it to be able to have a picture of when you used a, you know, a Sherwood wood stick and have the same graphic, you know, in, you know, 1990 as you're using in 2024. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's so cool. And yeah,
I don't know who has the copyright of Titan, but bring back the old Titan TPM.
Well, that's it. Well, that's
4020.
And I, you know what? I tried to get because Sherwood now is like really pushing the new stuff with Bedard and Tkachuk and stuff. They made me like another batch of brown and another batch of white ones. And they were kind of like, okay, you know, this might be it for one, but I was really trying to get a red one, you know, and I also said, right. Yeah. Bring back the ABS, you know, whoever has that Titan ABS, like bring that back. I mean, you know, whoever has Canadian, whoever has Christian Brothers, like bring them back, you know, like throwback to, you know, bring them all back. And
is that you know, typical actually also for the whole people, for whole Germany or for the whole world, that in that times we are living at the moment, a lot of changes, a lot of crisis. Yeah. Everybody loves more and more this retro stuff. If you look at the retro nights, they are a huge factor for a lot of clubs. I guess Augsburg has played four times in the retro.
Three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people, I think everything was good in the past. Yeah. And now
exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the way it is.
Nothing was better in the past, but you have. Everybody has this feeling,
normally the memories that you hold on are the good ones, you know,
yeah, exactly.
A lot of times. So when you think about this and you go back and you see this and you go, man, like same thing. Like I remember, you know, the players that I looked up to growing up that were local and stuff, you know, if once I grew up, they weren't great players, you know, but to me, when I was a kid, best. You know,
yeah,
if I
see Sasha playing with me on the street, yeah, and with less fear, with no responsibility, just had a good childhood there, and that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. But it comes back if you see that in the NHL, that Winter Classics and these a stadium series last weekend, Philadelphia Flyers coming out of the bus dressed like Rocky.
Yeah, like
you saw
Rocky
that.
Balboa.
You saw that.
Yeah,
picture?
I saw. Yeah, and
awesome.
Like I said, it's always and that's the job. That's the job of the couple older guys on the team to keep it alive. You know, I know it's always, you know, I think that's the thing that I'm most worried about with. You know, leaving the game. It's not that I care that anybody remembers me, but I feel like I do a good job of reminding people like who was before me and how it was, you know, and who came. And you feel like when you go and the next generation turns over, you hope it doesn't get lost, you know, there's a lot of people that, like I said, that I credit at least to like why I played and who I thought had style and who I thought did this well and who did this. And all of a sudden, you know, you ask, you know, or just even keeping old movies, old bands alive in the room that you ask, you know, luckily we got guys that, you know, we have a Justin Braun, we have JC LePon, who's kind of a throwback and, you know, knows a lot, you know, of, you know, older culture at least. And Mike Connolly and Zinger, Mark Zinger,
Justin
older
Braun
guys
from Philadelphia, Justin Braun.
Yeah, exactly. And he's an older guy and, you know, we can speak about movies and things like this. And half the guys in the room will look at us like, what movie? My parents made me watch that, but I didn't, you know, and it's crazy. So
it's like Slapshot, you know?
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, exactly. You ask how many people have actually seen Slapshot and recite it or seen Youngblood, you know, or seen movies like this. Like, you know, it's less and less, you know?
Yeah.
But this is also the reason why it is so important to have also older players on the team, like you or like TJ Trevelyan in Augsburg and like these guys, you know. It's the same. We Flo and I, we look at this noon. We look the ceremony for Jaromir Jagr in Pittsburgh. They got up the number on under the ceiling, and he told the fans before he signed the contract for Pittsburgh, his childhood dream was to play with Mario Lemieux. And then he signed this contract and they played together and won two Stanley Cups, you know, together. And that's crazy. But you always need these older guys on the team. The younger can look up.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and especially I think with, you know, like I said, times are changing, you know, and there's a lot more guys are a lot more, you know, I'd say plugged in now. And not so willing to kind of go out and speak. I don't want to say like the lack of like, you know, social skills, but there's just a lot more online interaction. There's a lot more phone interaction with just you and your phone. There's a lot more video game interaction. You know, there's a lot less just sit here, speak, learn about other people, what made them, you know, why they are this way and kind of just, you know, interaction, I think, you know, especially on the bus, like, you know, the cards are, you know, the cards and the gambling is going away a lot more because a lot of people are plugged into their phones and doing their own thing. And just kind of this like social interaction that, you know, the only thing the guys really say they miss when it's all gone, you know, is like the being around the guys all the time and doing this. And, you know, I think it's kind of becoming less and less, you know, and it's a little bit scary because, you know, to me, this was everything, you know, was going to the rink, having a coffee, talking about everybody's, you know, how was this? How is that? How's the family? How's this? And, you know, I don't think you get so much of that, you know, and a lot of it too, is like super instant gratification.
That starts in youth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The children teams, I have a football team, and during my time after the practice, we sat together having some drinks, and at that point of time everybody leaves directly after practice, after game, and that's what it's all about.
Everyone's in a hurry. Everyone's in a hurry these days.
In a successful team, what it's all about is to lose together, to win together, to have fun together, also to argue together, but
absolutely,
like
absolutely
a family.
That's the whole thing. Is I know the teams growing up, like that I played on, at least in a town, like we were no way the same thinkers, you know, but when it came down to it, like we had each other's backs regardless. We would argue with each other, we would fight, we were this, but guess what? There was no one else we'd rather want to be around, you know? and it was each other. And, you know, that's the special thing about sports. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's a little bit mix of this is like, you know, how do we keep some of that alive with still, you know, evolving, you know, and kind of, you know, not getting lost in the shuffle because it's changing regardless if we want it to or not. I think that's the hardest thing that, you know, I have to cope with is like, you know, shit's changing and you can either kind of figure out like how to adapt with it and still keep a little bit of the old, you know, with it, but also how to relate to the new guys as well. Or you can just be, you know, grumpy old man and let it pass you up and not get with the times either, you know? So I think that's, you know, that's the exciting part for me now too, is like, even when I go into a dressing room, like, you know, I just listen a lot, you know, times to like what's going on and I'm lost half the time too. And that's kind of what makes it fun and exciting as well. You know, it's like, I'm, you know, learning as much as I guess they are too.
I think at the end, you have to be open-minded. You have not to be the grumpy guy and you have to have fun of what you're doing. And then you have the success at the end. Or
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you're not, I don't know how you stay in something so long, like, or do it like this. Mm-hmm. If, you know, I mean, I think that's with anything.
But you know, you only have fun if you have success in parallel. That's my experience in the team.
It's true. And if you're having a lot of fun when you're not having success, you probably don't care. Exactly. Enough, you know, so it's exactly, you know. But again, if you're not having success, you're probably not around that often either. So it's, you know, it all goes together, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this mentality that you hate to lose. I mean, that's from all the popular sportsmen. I've heard a lot of interviews, and this one feature, this one item is for all the same. They hate to lose. Yeah, and that gives you the motivation to do more maybe than the others are doing. Or
it is, but it's tough too, because it's like, this is the thing when you get old, like mentally, you know, you confidence, right, is like the biggest thing, and you hate to lose. But I think because the internet, because this, like, there's a lot of guys that are scared to lose, not necessarily hate to lose. And when you're scared and when you're scared to lose, it a lot of time doesn't go great for you, because you're playing with a little bit of weight on you, exactly. And you don't get to just let it go free, you know, because now that you have Twitter and all these highlights and everybody's on the internet, that, you know, if something bad happens to you, it, you feel like it's played on a loop and guys can't get it out of their mind. Yeah. You know, and they feel like before it used to be like, oh, well, I know everybody didn't see this highlight, or I know everyone didn't do this. So you could kind of brush it off and shake it off. And now it's like, you know, I, and now like even coaching like the youth and stuff and doing this, it's, you know, you have to explain to them that that's the number one thing. You can hate to lose. You can hate to lose, but don't be afraid to lose, you know, because when you have that and you play, you know, scared money don't make money. You know, it's a hard thing to, you know.
I think you have this, also to learn to lose.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I will never learn it, I guess.
You know, yeah, it's, yeah. You know what, you can't, you don't want to learn, do it, but fuck, like, there's times that, like, you gave it everything you had.
Yeah.
Until you've lost, and then, I guess, then you have to learn to learn from your loss, yeah. afraid, yeah, to lose again and again and again.
That's the thing,
because that takes your self-confidence.
Right. That's the biggest difference, is that, like, that's what I said, like, if you think about, like, yeah, you do, you have to learn how to move on though, and then get better from it. Because if you don't, if you're always thinking about that losing or not losing, it's over. Like, you're done. You can't escape that weight. You're this. So that's a skill, like being able to turn the page, take what you need to do better, and then do it, and, you know, do it better the next time, as opposed to like shit, like, is this going to happen again? Am I going to lose? Am I going to lose? You know,
I think if you look at successful teams, they very often, they have a very good percentage in getting this extra point in overtime. That's also something. If they believe that they, no problem, we will win in overtime. It's an advantage. A lot of teams, they go in overtime and say, oh, we've lost three or four, and that makes it difficult. Yeah, and I think a good skill of a good coach, I guess, this critical moment.
It's definitely, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, is like knowing that you're gonna get it done. You know, you're gonna do this, or you know, you're not. You're gonna stick the course, and you're gonna trust. You know that what you're gonna do is gonna be. You know, is going to be enough, and you're going to find a way to get it done. And, you know, like I said, good teams, you know, they don't let, they don't let things pile up, you know, where, because it's when the train stops and starts so many times, it's so hard to get it back going again, you know, and to, you know, again, it's like, it's just about limiting mistakes. You know, does one mistake turn into two, or two mistakes turn into three, or does one bad shift turn into two? You know, you can have bad shifts, you can have bad games, but does it turn into two games, three games, four games? Does that one shift turn into two shifts, three shifts, four shifts? That's the difference, you know?
Mm-hmm. As longer as it lasts, I mean, it's difficult to break it. Yeah, that's scary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so time goes by.
Yeah.
And Cody, it was a pleasure for us. By the way, all the best for Straubing Tigers. We hope, but just let me say that we hope you finish it this year first, because no one wants to see Berlin again or Munich again.
No.
Yeah. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see that either. You know, we don't want to see that either, but I appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, it's been such a pleasure seeing you guys at the games. And, you know, I said, I think I might have seen you guys for the last time here, at least as a player. You know, what you do and for the league, for Augsburg, obviously, always, but for the league too, and keeping, you know, just keeping, you know, tradition.
Yes,
old school hockey. You know, having
Yeah.
Ich glaube, ich glaube, die Augsburger Panther stören gerade, weil die wollen gelobt werden.
Yeah. bad internet.
You're frozen.
Keeping these characters. Oh. Yeah, bad internet. I know. Yeah, bad.
Yeah.
Exact. At that point, you say that things about us.
The connection was broken, but thank you very much for.
I mean, of course, like I said, I love it. I love it. And Augsburg's lucky to have you guys.
See you.
Thank you.
Augsburg.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.